Well, good morning, friends and brethren. It's so good to see you. We have a good number here, several visitors as well. We are especially glad to see you with us here today. The Apostle Paul wrote words of instruction to the young preacher Timothy, and he taught him about the dangers of false doctrines. He taught him about the grace of God. He warned about the apostasy that was to come, and he encouraged him in his work as an evangelist. And Timothy was reminded to stay in the Word. We look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we are reminded of some specific instruction that Paul gave Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in the vein here of him giving some warning about apostasy and false teaching, and you have to be prepared for these things, he says in verse 6, that if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And so his instruction is that you need to be reminded of the things that you have learned, these words of faith, and it will serve you in maintaining your faith, but in teaching these others as well. It's in the same context in verse 11. He goes on to say, these things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be in examples to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Until I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And so his encouragement here, his exhortation even, to the preacher was to be lifted up in faith and find nourishment, because nothing is going to replace these words of faith. That's where your encouragement will come from. And by the way, be telling others about these too. Here's what will make you a good teacher of the gospel. And then there's this reading that he was to give attention to. You know, when he says, till I come, give attention to reading. There's no other book that is more important for reading than the book that comes from God, His Word. There is not one book that provides more benefit to the will of man than the book that comes from the hand of God. And it is this book that reveals the very mind of Jehovah God, the builder, the creator of all things. And the will of God will not be hidden from us, but is made fully known. It's open for our learning if we will open and take His book and use it. The things that God will lead us with to have faith are the things that God has revealed so that we can know Him and draw near to Him and grow in Him, all found in His Word. But that will not happen unless we study these words of faith, unless we give attention to reading. That's been on my mind some in the last couple of weeks, that phrase, as I've read that over. It's part of our reading this last week, in fact. And, you know, this point of emphasis seems incredibly important to me. And there may be a couple of different ways to take this exhortation to Timothy. There is a personal standpoint that perhaps the apostle is saying, you need to read. You need to be busy reading, because here's how you are prepared to know false teaching, to beware of this apostasy. Here's how you'll know these words of faith, as he said. Give attention to reading. It might as well have been, give attention to reading. I mean, what is being read? Make sure what is being read is right. Or even it's take in what's being read, if this is from the will and the word of God. Different ways we can look at that. But no matter which vantage point we come to look at that, the point is still the same. To be encouraged, to be edified by the words, we have to give attention to reading. We have to be in that Word. Again, it is only the Word of God that can affect and steer our will toward righteousness. Drawing near to God is not possible without the revealing of His will through His Word. It's amazing to me the number of people we might meet day to day that would call themselves to be followers of God, might call themselves Christians, and yet even just a little discussion with them helps us to know they don't even have a clue what the book says. sometimes even among us, we find that our knowledge is not what it needs to be. And there's always a common denominator as to why there's a lack of faith often, or why there's a lack of knowledge, is that failure to give attention to reading. Consistently, God has made known His will to man so that we can understand, so that we can choose the precepts of the Holy One, so that we might be drawn closer to Him. There is no other way to be drawn closer to Him than through His will, through His Word. And His Word is revealed in such a way that we can know Him and that we can have faith. And separate from His Word, true saving faith cannot be found. I think that escapes us sometimes. Because in the religious world as a whole, there are so many seemingly who have faith who don't know what God says. But it's not saving faith, because saving faith can only be found in God's Word. And God has not left us in a position of not knowing His will. Never has He left man in that position, but always He has spoken well His ideas, His precepts, and His will. From the beginning of time, even from the book of Genesis, and the Lord commanded man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must now not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you do eat of it, you will surely die. Genesis 2, verse 16. Any questions? It's not so hard to understand. God has always presented His will in such a way that we can know His mind. And all the way through the book, it's revealed just in such a way. And even in the end, in the conclusion of the book, in Revelation chapter 22, it's just interesting to me that it ends this way. In verse 18, the Apostle John says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, I understand there's application that can be made in that just from the book of Revelation. But it speaks God's will concerning His Word as a whole, all the way through, that we cannot add to it, we can't take away from it. It's His Word. And our place is only to be followers in what He says. God's message has always been clear from the beginning to the end of the Revelation. Look at several passages with me that consider God's emphasis on reading His Word. We go to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 24. And again, we're going to see that throughout the text, reading and obeying His Word is the imperative. And we have many reminders throughout the annals of God's writings that puts in our mind the need of turning the pages and reading the Word. Exodus chapter 24. You remember the case here? The storyline as it's going on? The establishing of this covenant with God. And it's the children of Israel who were there. Moses, of course, who has called the people to gather up here close by, and he's explaining to them some things about this covenant, this relationship that they have with God. Exodus 24 and verse 7, he says, then he took the book of the covenant and he read it to the people, and they responded, we will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey. And you know, for the children of Israel, things worked so good and so well as long as they honored their covenant with God, when they listened to what God said and when they obeyed. But the emphasis here was that Moses took the revelation of God and he read it to the people. They understood it and they agreed, we will obey. There's a simple point that comes with that. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, it's a little bit later time when Moses was writing about God's instructions for kings. It was some of the final writing of Moses because his time with the children of Israel was not very long now. He wasn't going to be with them much longer, and so he wrote down these words of reminder to the children of Israel. He more or less chronicled their history together, the wandering in the wilderness, and the word of God that had come to them. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, And in verse 18, here were some specific instructions about the day he's saying to Israel, when the day comes that you have an earthly king, verse 18, when he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and the decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom. To the kings that would serve, they should take the law and write it on their own scroll, their own personal copy, to keep it close by so that they can know and be reminded always the will and the word of God. It's to be with him. He is to read it all of the days of his life. Well, we see some importance, some emphasis here, don't we? That Moses is giving concerning the word of God and having that and reading it. If we don't read it, we're not going to know what it says. And that was the point. That's what he was saying. If a king was going to be a good and a successful and a righteous king, he can only do so by following the will and the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 31. There was some special instruction giving to the Levites, the priests, for the Feast of Tabernacles. Deuteronomy 31. And let's see, we'll begin reading here about verse 11. And so here's what would happen when there'd be this gathering together of the people, of the children of Israel. When all Israel comes before the Lord your God, at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men, women, and children, and the aliens living in your towns, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God, and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know the law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Listen and learn seems to be an imperative. There was this reading that was to be done. Listen to it and learn from that and follow all of those words. And the emphasis for their children, that how will your children know unless they hear, unless there is the reading that is done, unless they can hear the word of God, how will they know the will of God? Learn to fear God. All of these are some things that Moses wrote in his final days. Powerful words that mean something to us even. Because we can see, we can understand the power and the importance of what God has given us here in His Word. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. The children of Israel they're across that river now. Moses is no more. But it's Joshua who is leading them. They've entered into the promised land. God has given Israel the defeat of Jericho and Ai at this point. And they've come to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And there's a gathering together of all of the people. And they're going to read this covenant with Jehovah God. It's like they were renewing their covenant with God at this point. And Joshua read from it in Joshua chapter 8. And let's see, verse 34 beginning. And afterward Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it is written in the book of law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the aliens who lived among them. That's an incredible picture to me, to think about all of the children of Israel gathered together, some on Mount Ebal, it says, some on Mount Gerizim, and down there in the middle somewhere, the law is being read so that all could hear. It's a powerful scene to think about. And just try to picture that. God was with them. Things were going well for Israel now. Because right now it seems they were closer to God than they'd ever been. And they were considering His word and His will and every move that they would make. At least for now, they were. You know, in time, years later, there'd be a period of time of a divided kingdom among Israel. And in that time, there were few good kings. There came a time in Judah where there was a good king. We're looking at the book of 2 Kings right now. 2 Kings chapter 23. And here again, there was a reading of the word that took place. It seems as though it hadn't been done much in a while. Josiah becomes the king. And there's reading. And the people are moved because of the word. In 2 Kings chapter 23, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And he went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commandments, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in the book. And then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant." You know, again, we can never understand, we can never know the will of God. We cannot know what He expects us to do or how to live if we're not reading from His word, if we're not considering what He has given for us. Israel had gone through a very difficult time. They had moved far away from God because there was not the reading of the word. They had not kept the covenant with God. And here was a time when Josiah, a righteous king, was pulling them closer. And the reason they became closer to God was because they were reading from His word. As time goes on a little more, there were some exiles that came back to Jerusalem. Well, that's because there had been many taken in captivity and moved away. But after 70 years in captivity, there was a moving back of some. Nehemiah chapter 8. And when there was this coming back to Jerusalem, and Ezra the priest working to reestablish this relationship with God and worship as it should be in Jerusalem, read from the book. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and beginning in verse 1, "When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. And he read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of all men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high platform built for the occasion." We get a picture of this in our mind, the reading that's taken place. A reading that must have taken for days. And he would begin at daybreak until noon, and the people stood there and listened to the law every day as it was being read. Verse 6 says, "Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them, and he opened it, and the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, 'Amen, amen.' And they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." And so they listened and they were taught by the priests the reading of the word. And verse 8 says, "They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read." They could understand. They could know the will of God. And verse 18 says, "Day after day, from the first to the last, Ezra read from the book of law." For days it took to read all of the law. But the real point to this is, as well, is that it had an effect. In chapter 9, the story continues in verse 2. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. It changed them. The words of the Lord changed them. It has that power. It always has. The prophet Isaiah would say, would pin for God when God said, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Isaiah 55 and verse 11. And we think again about what Moses had penned earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 31. "Listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully follow all the words of this law." Indeed. God has always revealed His will. He's always told man what we must do to know Him and to follow Him, to be found right before Him. And we think about some of the words in the Scripture that we've just read. And you think about some of the points that we must read the Word, that we must read it as it is written. We can't take anything from it. Or put anything, add anything to it. That we must listen, it says. We've read that we must hear it. We should learn from it. We must follow it says. We must keep it with all one's heart and soul. And that we should read to confirm the words of the law. All of these are words and phrases that we've just read about. And it emphasizes to us the power and the need of reading the Word. And that if we are to be the people of God, here's what we must do. There's one way for us to know God's will, and that is to read what He has given to us. And yet, so often we struggle to spend time reading God's Word. We've really been challenged the last 2 years, haven't we? We think about reading God's Word. You know, we've made an effort collectively to read every day. And there's been some great things that has come from that, but let's understand that we have challenged each other, and it is a challenge. What we've been trying to do, reading every day on a schedule from God's Word. But a great challenge calls for our passion and for our devotion. Just because we're challenged to do something doesn't mean we do it. Or might not mean, even if we do it, doesn't mean we do it well. And might even mean that we do it, but we don't really get much from it because we're not reading to learn. We're not reading to be impacted by the words. God's Word will move us. God's Word will change us. If we read it with the intent that He has given for it to be read, if we'll use it in the way He wants it to be used. And to be challenged in such a way to read every day, it takes something from us, doesn't it? Energy, time, commitment. And so we have to concentrate on those things. We have to set our minds to it. We have to move forward. We have to get it done. And there's been many who have done just that. And sometimes, again, we just need to be challenged again in such a way to draw our attention to matters that are most important. And we need to challenge each other again to give attention to reading. I mean, this is the instruction that has come from God so long ago, time and again, in different settings, through different prophets, through apostles, to give attention to reading so that we can know the mind of God, so we can be moved from it. And many of you have been doing just that, reading. Last week in the bulletin, I had an article about some of our proposed changes for our reading schedule for the next year. It's something that as a church we've thought about quite a bit, and everybody's had opportunity for input on what are we going to do next year. Well, for one thing, it was almost unanimous. Everybody wants to continue a reading, some kind of a reading schedule. I mean, just nearly unanimous. We got to keep doing this. And so we have all read in the last 2 years, those who've participated, we've read through the Bible twice. And that's not an easy task. And there's been a significant number of the congregation that has managed to accomplish that. And there's others who have struggled, or there's some who have tried, but have struggled to get it done. But it's not easy. And so the survey said, yeah, we want to keep doing a reading. We need to continue doing this. But we're making some changes this year. There are those who have done the reading who have been so pleased with what's come from that. People have said things like, I see the big picture of God's plan better now. We've read from beginning to the end twice. And some have said, I now see how the Old Testament and the New Testament are connected. Yeah, sure, indeed. It's one story from the beginning to the end, really. God's plan of redemption. And sometimes you have to read it from beginning to end to see that it's really just one story. A lot of sub-stories in there, I understand. But it's one theme all the way through. We see that now. And there are others who said, I'm happy to learn what I've learned in the last year. Or reading was a lesson in motivation and discipline, someone said. Indeed, it's that, because it was hard. And some have said, it brings a closeness to God to be in His Word every day. Sure, it does. Absolutely. But again, as I said, some changes this year. Because, as well, the survey provided some insight to some changes that many wanted. And even from some of those who have accomplished the complete reading for 2 years have said, maybe we need to change a little bit what we're trying to accomplish. And about 75% of those who answered that question, about 75% said, less reading. Less reading, more time to think, more time to study and meditate. And so we debated for a while, deliberated for a while. Less reading, how much less reading? What should we do? How should we do this? And so our format for 2017 is going to be a little bit different. Still reading. We need to keep reading. God says we need to keep reading. I don't think we really have a choice in that part of the issue. God said that we need to be reading. But we've tried to figure out what's the best way for us to approach this as a church. Individuals may have their own reading plans. Individuals may be reading some things that the church as a congregation is not reading. I get that. That's fine. That's good. But as a congregation, what we are going to do is for one thing, kind of refresh our goal. We have to be reading. Let's try to encourage everybody to be reading. And how can we do that? Someone said our goal should be 100% participation. Yes, it should. We should be trying to do something that we can get everybody involved in the reading. And so the plan is one chapter a day. Reading through the New Testament in a year. One chapter a day. But wait, there's only 260 chapters in the New Testament. There's more days than that. One chapter a day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Five chapters for the week. One chapter a day. Some say, but I want to read more than that. You can. That's great. You can read more than that. And so Saturday and Sunday, our schedule, Brent's been working on the schedule and hopes to have it out maybe this week. New Testament, Monday through Friday, one chapter a day. Don't tell me you can't read one chapter a day. One chapter a day, Monday through Friday. You have Saturday and Sunday to make up if you fall behind. Or some say, I want to read more than that. Great. The Psalms and the Proverbs on Saturday and Sunday. Here's the secondary reading. For those who want something more to read, Saturday and Sunday, the Psalms and Proverbs. It'll be on the schedule. And so there's some reasons. There's some reasons for trying this approach this year. Something a little different. A little different focus. It's everyone who is willing can accomplish this schedule. Anybody who wants to do it can accomplish this schedule. And no one can say that you don't have time to read a chapter a day. Think about it. One of the primary comments about our present reading schedule, some said, it's just all reading. There's no time to digest. We're reading four chapters a day a lot of days, 7 days a week. And a number of people said, I want to think about it more. And so this schedule allows for some study and meditation time. And I'll tell you, personally, as I've thought about this more, in the last week, I've become more excited about this reading schedule for me personally. Because here's what I was missing. The time to stop and think about what I was reading. And so I'm going to read a chapter every day. But I don't plan to read a chapter and close the book. I want to think about what I'm reading. I've got another personal plan. I've got a newer Bible here. Some of you have seen my old Bible that I carry in my bag like a kid carries a blanket. I can't get rid of it. I'm afraid to leave it home. I may need something. All my notes are in my Bible. And this one does not have many notes. God willing, at the end of the year, this will look as tattered as my old Bible. And there'll be all the underlines and all of the notes in the margin and all of that that needs to come from the old Bible to the new Bible. It's going to take some time to do that. And it'll cause me to have to look at some of those references. Why did I write that down? What? Why did I underline? Oh, that's important. And so I'm going to have to really think about what I'm reading. And the more I've given thought to that, the more excited I've become about this reading schedule. Because I see where it's going to benefit me. And others have said some things similar to that. And so there's a different level, new level of excitement here that's coming about because of this. Here's something else I want to mention. Reasons for doing this schedule. Someone mentioned, maybe we can incorporate family reading time. And some have thought, well, you could do that before. You know, with smaller children, four chapters a day, every day. I remember small children at home. Four chapters a day, every day. That's pretty tough. One chapter a day, Monday through Friday. Parents with children. I'm on you with this now. Here's your opportunity. Every day, to sit down for just 10 or 15 minutes as a family and reading, teaching our children the habit, the blessing of daily Bible reading. To me, this is an incredible opportunity. And those of us who've passed our child-rearing experience have a responsibility to go to these younger parents with children and say, how are you doing with your family reading? Can we help? Would you like me to come by Tuesday night for your reading? We'll read together. What's it going to take? What can we do, older parents and grandparents, to help the younger ones, to help teach these children the blessings of a daily Bible reading? We need to encourage that. So, one more thing. Our Sunday night plan. The last 2 years on Sunday night, we've had kind of a mix of sermons or class time that's based on our reading for the week. You know what else came out of the survey? Most folks said they like that. They want to keep doing that. A lot of favorable comments about our weekly study or review of what we have been reading about. And I like that too. There was an interesting question asked me. Someone said, and I meant this very honest, and I appreciate their consideration. They said, how do you feel about not speaking every Sunday night? Because I only generally speak two Sunday nights. Other men take turns presenting the other two Sunday nights from what we're reading. Let me tell you how I feel about that. I feel great. I mean, I love that. And the more we have got into that, the more I love that. Because you think about some of the men who have presented lessons in the last 2 years, and how some of them presented 2 years ago, and how they present now. The growth we've seen in some, amazing. What an incredible opportunity to use some of the talent in the congregation here to be able to present lessons or sermons on the things that we have read. I can hardly think of anything that we have done that has had greater benefits than that in the last 2 years. And so I love that. And it encourages me so much, even when they look on the schedule and they know that in 6 weeks that they have a Sunday night that they have to present for. And they start preparing and asking questions. How do we do that? How should I approach this? What do you think about this? I love that. And I think it speaks great things for the church here. So we're going to continue that. We're going to continue doing the Sunday night review as we've been doing that. What it all comes back to is this. Give attention to reading. That's what Paul said to Timothy. That's the vein, that's the idea of what the Lord has said through Moses and the prophets and the apostles all the way through the book, that we need to give attention to reading. And it is the power of God's Word that is able to affect and change the hearts of men. Sometimes I'm afraid we lose sight of that. That even we might think that somehow it's our persuasive powers or it's just our influence on some that causes someone to consider what God says. I understand we can have influence. But what it still comes down to, ultimately, is people are moved by the Word of God. It's the Word of God that stirs the hearts of men. We've talked about this before when Philip came upon the Ethiopian eunuch, was sent to him, and the eunuch was reading from Isaiah, and Philip says, "Do you understand what you are reading? How can I unless someone explains it to me?" And Philip preached Jesus to him, beginning in that scripture, and it affected the heart of the eunuch in such a way when he came upon water, says, "Here is water, what hinders me from being baptized?" And he made a confession of Jesus Christ and was baptized right then. Because of the power of the Word, it changes the hearts of willing men. Give time to reading. We'll be encouraged, we'll be uplifted, we'll be exhorted as we give time to reading. Thank you for listening so well this morning. We're singing a song here that is meant to be an encouragement for anyone who needs to respond to the gospel of Christ. If you find that you need to become a child of God, you believe that you need to become a child of God, and you understand what the Word has taught you in that, we want to help you and assist you. If you're a child of God that has struggled in faith, can we help you? Can we pray for you? Would you come as we stand and sing?